me free. Oh, God has smiled on me, and He's been good to me.
Come on, everybody, sing with all your heart.
Oh, God has, He has smiled on me, and He has set me free. So glad to know God has, yes, He has. Oh, and He's been good to me.
Come on, amazing grace.
Oh, amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Mm-hmm. Oh, I once was lost. Thank God I'm found. I was blind. Thank you, Lord. But now I see. That's the reason I say this morning that God, hallelujah, oh, yeah, I know that, yes, oh, He's been good. To me, I came to Jesus. Hey, I came to Jesus just as I was. I was weary, I was wounded, and I was sad. Hallelujah. But I found in Him a sweet resting place. Oh, and He has, Jesus has made me glad. That's why I sing this morning that, thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Mm-hmm. He has set me free. Oh, I know that. Smiled on me. Yes, oh, He's been good. Hallelujah. Come on, let's sing that verse one more time. I came to Jesus. Oh, I came to Jesus just as I was. I was weary, I was wounded, and I was sad. Oh, but I found in Him a sweet resting place. And He has, Jesus has made me glad. Oh, I say now, thank you, Jesus. Oh, He has set me free. Yeah, I know He has. Whoa. Yeah, yeah. Oh, He's been good, yeah. Come on, sing it one more time. God has smiled on me. Think about how good God has been to you this morning. Say now, God has smiled on me, yes. And He has set me free. Oh, I know He has. Yeah, yeah. Oh, He's been good. Say, the Lord has been good to me. He's been good to me. God has been good to me. Oh, he's been good, yes. Real, real good to me. Oh, real, real good to me. God has been good to me. Oh, he woke me up this morning and started me on my way. Put food on my table, clothes on my back, yeah. Been my protection, yeah. Been my provider, yeah. Say, God has been good to me. Oh, say, God has been good to me. Yeah, so, so good, yeah. He's been good to me. Oh, somebody worship him in this place. Somebody exalt him. Hallelujah. God, you've been so good. Yes, you have, oh God. Thank you, Jesus.
My God. Turn around and tell somebody, God has been good to me. Praise the Lord. He's been so good to me. Amen, amen. Can't nobody do you like Jesus. Can't nobody do you like the Lord. Oh, my God. Let's turn in our Bibles to Psalm 121. Amen. Psalm 121. It says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Amen. We thank the Lord for his promise. Amen. Before we would just open the service in prayer, we have a couple of prayer requests that we want to make mention of. Brother Jimmy is asking prayer for his neighbor, Stanley Lowry. He's going in for open heart surgery on tomorrow. So we want to remember Stanley Lowry in prayer. And just got a text, amen, that Brother Jewel Forney there in North Carolina was rushed to the hospital. He's having some complications there. I think he's regurgitating blood and pus and things of that nature. So we just want to pray on behalf of our brother Jewel. He's been a precious instrument that's been used by God. Amen. And we just want to just remember him in prayer this morning. I know also Brother Nathan Bryant texted me. His father, Brother Jerry Bryant, he recently had surgery for prostate. So just remember him in prayer as well for his recovery. Amen. Brother Solomon, if you don't mind, I'll have you come and just take the requests before the Lord in prayer. Amen on today. Amen. Let's bow our heads.
Almighty God, we come humbly before you, Lord, with thanksgiving in our hearts, Lord, because you have smiled on us, Lord. Lord, you have poured out your grace and unmerited favor upon your children. Father God, we want to bring, Lord God, these, our loved ones and friends, before you, Lord. Brother Jimmy's neighbor, oh God, he, Lord, is preparing for his surgery, oh God. He needs a touch from you. He needs the great physician to come on the scene, oh God. We just ask, oh God, that you go and perform the surgery, Lord God. May you anoint the surgeon with your spirit, Lord, that it may be a perfect surgery, Lord, and may his recovery be speedily, oh God. And Father, we pray for Brother Jewel, Lord. What a jewel of a man, Lord, a friend, a brother, and a preacher, oh God. How he has been faithful, Lord, doing the work that you have called him to, Lord God. And now, Lord God, Satan has afflicted his body, Lord, but you are his healer. You are his keeper. You are his protector. You're his provider, oh God. And Father, we just ask you, oh God, that you would meet his needs this morning. Father God, we pray, Lord, for Brother Brian, oh God, that you'll continue to be with him in his recovery, oh God. Father God, we just ask that you minister to his knees, oh God. Oh, Father, each one of these, not only physically, Lord, but spiritually, Lord. Have your way, Lord. You know the desires, Lord, and requests upon our hearts, Lord, for our own bodies, Lord, for our loved ones, oh God. Father, you are the one that meets our needs, Lord, and we depend solely on you. We trust you. We believe you. We love you, Lord. We'll humbly obey you in all things. We commit this service into your hands along with our brethren. In Jesus Christ's precious and holy name, amen.
Praise the Lord. I will lift up mine eyes to the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, the maker of heavens and earth. And he said, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. The Lord which keepeth thee, he will not slumber nor sleep. For the Lord is thy keeper, the Lord is thy shade. Upon thy right hand, upon thy right hand, no, the sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. Oh, he shall preserve thy soul, even forevermore. My help, all of my help cometh from the Lord. Let's take it from the top again. Come on, everybody, sing these songs with all your heart. Oh, I will lift up mine eyes to the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, the Lord which made heaven and earth. He said, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. The Lord which keepeth thee, oh, he will not slumber nor sleep. For the Lord is thy keeper, the Lord is thy shade. Upon thy right hand, upon thy right hand, no, the sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. Hey, he shall preserve thy soul even forevermore. From the Lord. Come on, everybody. Lift your voice and say, my help. Say, my help. Yeah, I know my help comes from you, Lord. Yeah, all of my help. Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Come on, let the devil hear you say, my help. Say, my. Oh, I know it does. My help, oh, my help. Yeah. One more time. My help. Yeah. Oh, let my help. Oh, all of my help coming from. Yeah. Oh, lift up thine eyes to the hills. Oh, all of my help cometh from the. Oh, lift up mine eyes unto the hills. He's my strength, all of my help. Come on, one more time. Lift up mine eyes. Oh, yeah, so I will, oh, lift up mine eyes unto the hills. He's my strength, yes, all of my help coming from the Lord. Say, my help, yes. Whoa. All of my help. Yes, it does. Hallelujah. I believe it. My help. I'm going to look to the hills because my help is coming from my God. Yes, it is. All of my help. Oh, one more time. Lift your voice and say, my help. Yeah, yeah, my help. Oh, my. Hallelujah. All of my help cometh from the. Lord. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. All of my help comes from you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah. All my help comes from you, God. Yeah. You are the source of my strength. And you are the strength of my life. So I lift my hands in total praise to you, oh, you are the source of my strength. Say, you are, the strength of my life. Oh, and I lift my hand, yeah, and I lift my hands in total praise to you, everybody sing. You are the source of my strength, let it ring, say you are. Come on, tell the Lord, you are the strength of my life. So I lift my hands, yes. Hey. Oh, in total praise to you. Come on, one more time. You are the source of my strength. Yes, you are, God. Say, you are. You are the strength of my life. Yeah. total praise to you.
Come on, give him praise in this place. You deserve it, God. You deserve it. You deserve it. You deserve it, Jesus.
You deserve it, Jesus. All my praise, all my adoration, all my glory, all my life. You deserve it, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, amen. Amen. Oh, amen. Hallelujah. Come on, lift your voice. Tell the Lord, amen. We say amen this morning. So be it. Amen. Hey, we come to praise you. We come to worship you. Hey, amen. You deserve the glory. You deserve the honor. Hey, amen. Hey, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, one more time. Amen. Glory, glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be your name, God. Hallelujah. Glory. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, my God, my God. Turn around and tell somebody he deserves it. He deserves it. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, my God, my God, my God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Glory, glory, glory. He's the source of my strength, the strength of my life. Somebody say there's something on the inside telling me to go ahead. And see, that something on the inside is the Lord Jesus. Amen. He's the one that keeps you going forward. Amen. We thank God for him. Sister Michelle, as she prepares to come, amen, this morning, she's going to sing for us. Amen. We thank God for her. Amen. And following Sister Michelle, we'll have my brother Jeffrey. He'll come, amen, immediately following her. Praise the Lord.
Thank you.
Praise God. My soul says yes. My soul says yes. Appreciate that. Amen. Sister Michelle, God richly bless you. God richly bless you. Something. I know I called Brother Jeffrey, but I'm going to use him last. If I can have Sister Tina come, she'll come and sing for us on today. Amen. And man, we just thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Amen. Praise the Lord.
God bless you. I'm going to need y'all to participate, please. I really been just, you know, thinking of songs and just, you know, thinking way back where didn't have a lot of music, had drums, had tambourines, had your hands, and we still gave God big praise. So I'm going to need you to do this with me today. Brother Nehemiah, if you could give me a beat.
Down through the years, God's been good to me. Down through the years, God's been good to me. Down through the years, God's been good to me. I want to tell you, God's been good to me. Oh, yeah, down through the years, God's been good to me. Oh, down through the years, yeah, God's been good to me. Down through the years, God's been good to me. I want to tell you, God's been good to me. Oh, all of my life, God's been good to me. Oh, all of my life, yeah, God's been good to me. All of my life, God's been good to me. I want to tell you, God's been good to me. Yeah, all of my life, God's been good to me. Oh, all of my life, God's been good to me. All of my life, God's been good to me. I want to tell you, God's been good to me. Oh, hold to his hand, God's unchanging hand. Oh, hold to his hand, yeah, God's unchanging hand. You better build your hopes on things eternal. Oh, hold to God's unchanging hand. Oh, you gotta hold to his hand, God's unchanging hand. You better hold to his hand, yeah. cause I know Jesus. After a while, so much trouble, I have to cry sometimes. Yeah, trouble, I have to cry sometimes. I lay awake at night, but that's alright, cause I know Jesus. Jesus, I know that Jesus, he'll fix it for me. Yes, he'll fix it for you. Don't you worry about a thing. Jesus, Jesus will fix it. Fix it for you. He'll fix it for me. Jesus, Jesus will fix it. Fix it, Jesus. Fix it, Jesus. Jesus. After a while, trouble in my way, I have to cry sometime. So much trouble, I have to cry sometime. I lay awake at night, but that's alright, cause I know Jesus. Yes, I know Jesus. Yes, he will fix it. Fix it, fix it for you. Fix it, fix it for me. Don't you worry about a thing. He's gonna fix everything. He's gonna fix everything. Don't you worry. Don't you fret. My God has never failed. He's ever failed me yet. Yes, I know Jesus. Jesus will fix it. He will fix it. After a while, after a while.
And I felt kind of quartet on that.
Jesus, he will fix it. Jesus, he will fix it. Jesus, he will fix it. Jesus, he will fix it.
Yes, he will.
Jesus, he will fix it.
Yes, he will. I know he will fix it. I know he will fix it. Oh, I know he will fix it.
Jesus, he will.
Yeah,
I said Jesus, he will. Yeah, Jesus, he will. Oh, Jesus, he will. He will fix it for you. Oh, he will fix it for you. Oh, turn it to Jesus. He'll work it out. Hey, say, turn it to Jesus. Oh, he'll work it out. Yeah, he will fix it. Oh, he will fix it. Yes, he will fix it. Oh, say Jesus, Jesus, he will fix. One more time. Jesus, he will. After a while, after a while.
Watkins going on. I know Jesus. Y'all know anything about that? you feel your help coming. That's all right. I know Jesus. Glory to God. That's how we come up. That was church for us, man. My God, my God. It was a nice trip down memory lane. God bless you, Sister Tina. Amen, amen. I'm going to let it go. That was all right. That's what I'm talking about. Glory, 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 glory. My God, my God. Amen. I couldn't think of that other song. I think Brother Armstrong said, Fix It, Jesus. Fix it like you said you would on my way home. On my way home, y'all. Hey, on my way home. Hey. Oh, on my way home. I'm on my way home, y'all. Well, Jesus. Oh, fix it, Jesus. Say, fix it, Jesus. Only fix it, Jesus. Fix it, Jesus. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. A burden bearer, my heavy load sharer. Fix it, Jesus. Voices, that's all you need. You don't need a whole church full, just two or three voices. Fix it, Jesus. Fix it, Jesus. Listen. Won't he, 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 fix it, y'all. I say, fix it, Jesus. Yeah, fix it, Jesus. Oh, fix it, Jesus. Fix it, Jesus. Oh, fix it, Jesus. Say, on my way home. Yeah, on my way home. Yeah, on my way home. Fix it, Jesus. Fix it like you said you would. God, turn around and tell somebody, he'll fix it, he'll fix it, he'll fix it, he'll fix it, he'll fix it. He'll fix it, he'll fix it. Oh, yes, he will. Fix it, Jesus, fix it like you said you would. Boy, I tell you, I feel quartetish. I feel quartetish. But took me back, my God. My early days of going to church, man. They just get about three or four brothers up there, and one get a bass guitar, and one drums, and one got a lead guitar, and boy, they just. What? Woo! Man, we go to a 3 o'clock program in a hurry to listen to some of that. My God, that was all right. Thank you, Sister Tina. That was good. That was real good. Amen, amen. He'll fix it. He'll fix it. I think this is a perfect time for me to share a testimony that he fixed. Amen. Sister Amanda, would you come at this time? Amen. And just give us a testimony this morning. And we'll have to get the offering and announcements after the testimony if we can. Amen. But There's something the Lord fix.
God bless you. Okay, I'm going to start at the very beginning so I don't forget anything. I went to see my doctor about a year and a half ago. And when I went, you know, under the assumption everything's fine, I got a call the next day, and the doctor says, Amanda, hi, we found cancerous cells in your body. And I said, oh. So I didn't really know how to react at that time. All I could think of was, okay, well, that's new. So about a week later, I got the letter in the mail, and I cried. You know, the only thing running through my mind at that time was cancerous cells, you know, death. So that was not fun. I went back to the doctor about 5 months later, and she went through all the tests again, and she said, this is still here. I want to start procedures for this. So I told her that I didn't want to do any of the procedures, but I just said, okay. You know, I didn't say, I didn't confess that it was gone out of my mouth. I didn't claim my healing or anything like that. I just, it happened fast, and I said, you know, I don't want to do any treatment, but, you know, okay, it's still there, you know, claiming it almost. And immediately when I did that, I felt wrong, and I know that was the Holy Spirit letting me, just teaching me, you know, you can't do that. And so I got in my car, and the whole drive home, I was really upset with myself because I had that knowledge in my spirit. You know, I should have said, I'm healed to her. You know, I should have confessed my healing. I should have done this and this and this. But I just thank God for that, because it was not only just a learning experience, but, you know, he, you know, just his spirit guiding me and showing me how to trust in him and how to show other people that I trust in him, you know. So I just, even though, I didn't confess it to the doctor at that time, and that was 5 months after, and but I kept confessing it over myself. And from that moment in the car, when I got out of the car, I started confessing it over myself, and I truly, truly gave it to God. And I didn't worry about it and stress about it. I truly believed that I was, you know, healed. I knew that God would do that. So I went back to the doctor a couple of weeks ago, maybe a little more around there. And so my doctor ran through all the same tests. And I sat down in my chair next to her, you know, after we did all these tests. And she says, okay, so, you know, this is what we're looking for. This is what you have. So we're going to... we're going to look for this again and see if it progressed or whatever. So as soon as she said, this is what we're looking for, this is what you have, I said, no, I don't have that. And she thought something was wrong with my memory. She was like, okay, but Amanda, you remember when you were here, this is what you have. And I was like, no, I don't have that anymore. I told her, I was like, I've been healed from that. I don't have that anymore. And she goes, oh, you're claiming it. And I was like, yes, in the name of Jesus Christ, I'm claiming that. And so she smiled. And then I got a call from her the next day. And she said, Amanda, I just want to tell you the good news. There's no cancerous cells in your body. So I just thank God for that. Not only for his healing my body, I thank him for that, but I also just thank him for teaching me and guiding me and being so graceful for me. And I wasn't so, I didn't do what I was supposed to. So I thank God for leading me and healing me.
Fix it, Jesus. like you said you would. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. See, I love to, you know, they say sometimes you got to just show it right back to the devil, because Satan might tell us, you know, when your dad was here, that was years ago. When your sister-in-law was here, that was a couple of years ago. Well, we got one for 2019. Cancer is still defeated. Glory to God. I tell you what, Jesus can fix it. Amen. If you could just only get the people to believe, not even cancer was standing in the way of your prayer. And I just love the way, you know, because everybody, God has different strategies for how he heals, right? You know, Sister Tanya went through a prayer line and got her healing. Sister Amanda confessed it over her body and got her healing, and God honored faith. Hallelujah. Whatever you're going through this morning, you ought to grab hold of faith and say, Lord, it's me next. Amen. I'm next. My God, my God, my God, my God. Amen. Amen. I forgot we need to mention a word of prayer for a sister there in Georgia that's kind of going through something, a cancer brother that shared it with me. And I say, brother, we've had 4 testimonies in the church of people being healed from cancer. And I don't care how difficult, how bad the situation is, God can still heal. And then God can still heal. So we thank God for that. God bless you, Sister Amanda. Thank you for sharing. Amen. With us. Amen. Let's do this morning's offering, and then I'll have one other testimony, and then we'll have Brother Jeffrey sing, and then we'll go into the Word of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Do we have we'll get the announcements ready as well, and I'll do those while we're taking the offering. Amen. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity we have to be able to give to you. See the furtherance of your kingdom in our giving. Pray that you would bless, Lord, the hands that are preparing to give, those that have a desire but don't have to give. Bless them as well. We trust, oh God, that you just continue to get glory and honor out of all that we do. We want to remember the sister there in Georgia, God, who needed prayer because she's dealing with cancer. And God, it's not too hard. Nothing is too hard for you, God. We are witnesses of that. We've seen your healing power once more in our midst. And this, again, is the year of the incredible. Incredible things are happening. So thank you, Lord, for proving yourself to our sister Amanda. And we rejoice with her, God, knowing that, amen, nothing is too hard for our God. So, Lord, we send the word of healing even right now to Georgia, where that sister is lying, and that you, God, will raise her up for your glory and for your honor. Father, we just pray that you're surrounded with people that will have faith, people that will share testimonies of your healing power with her, and that her faith might catch, Lord, her candle might be lit, and that, God, she'll rise up from that condition knowing that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. We give you glory, we give you honor, we give you praise. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Just a couple announcements. Amen. On Monday, amen, Brother Jordan Samuel will be celebrating the birthday. Brother Jordan, amen. We wish him a happy birthday. Amen. Also, don't forget this Tuesday, brothers will be here in prayer on Tuesday night at 7:30, so keep that in mind. Tonight, we'll have our Pinnacle Palm service at 5:30, and I'm looking forward to what the Lord has in store for us there, so keep that in prayer. Those of you that were at the banquet and you desire to get a copy of your photo, the photos are now available at SolomonJohnsonPhotos.com. And I do apologize, I didn't remember to say this on last week, but we show thank God for both Brother Solomon and Sister Naomi for all of their contributions there at the banquet. And just throughout the weekend, amen, those cameras was catching everything. And we just appreciate you all. God bless you. God bless you so much. And the other thing I like is to see how different businesses that God has blessed in the church able to work together. And just to see how the Lord just does things in the midst. And it's a beautiful thing. Amen. Just seeing that. So God bless you. Don't forget tonight at 6:30, we'll be in Boynton Beach. Amen. At the combined services there. The church is coming together for combined service at 6:30 tonight at Boynton Beach. 2 weeks from now, March 9th, March 10th, which is Saturday night and Sunday night, we'll be at Brother West Coast Church. Amen. For a worship service on Saturday night, the 9th, and then a regular service on the 10th, amen, that Sunday night, and I'll be preaching on that Sunday night, so keep that in mind. The weekend following Brother Wesco's meetings, Brother Bernard will be having his annual meetings there in Miami. Brother Wesco will be preaching, as well as Brother Vin Dial from Trinidad will be preaching, and that'll be Friday, amen, Saturday, and Sunday. And I believe Brother Joe Underwood and his church will be coming down on Sunday evening for a concert there, amen, at Brother Bernard's church. So keep that in mind. These are some of the upcoming events that will be occurring over the next couple weeks. Amen. I wanted to before we have Brother Jeffrey sing, I wanted to have Brother Mike come, and he's going to share a testimony with us on today. Now, I know God did some special things here on last weekend, and I know that others would have testimonies. We're going to have to get a testimony service set up where everybody can just kind of share what the Lord did for you during that time. But I wanted Brother Mike just to share a little bit on today. God bless you.
God bless you. I just keep a brief testimony. last week, I have a friend of mine here. His name is Jerry Benitez. 2 weeks ago, before the meetings, he had sent me a text saying that, you know, I want to change my life around. And I said, praise the Lord. Took him to the meetings. After the meetings, he said, wow, that was some great preaching. I said, praise the Lord. And after we left church, he was like, you know what, by the way, I want to cut my hair. Praise the Lord. So Monday morning, I took him, you know, the Lord said, you know, take him to Steak and Shake, because, you know, he loves to eat. So after I brought him back, you know, I'm putting coolant in my car. He came, so he's like, yo, Mike, don't you want to pray before you want to go? Praise the Lord. And then after we prayed, his brother right there, Ishmael Benitez, he prayed with us, and he said, I want to come to your church. Well, praise the Lord.
Amen. It's Brother Jerry. Did you say Jerry? God bless you, Brother Jerry. Amen. Just thank the Lord for the wonderful work that he's doing in your heart. And Brother Mike, bring Brother Jerry. Brother Jerry, bring Brother Ishmael. God bless you, Brother Ishmael. So good to have you, amen, with us on today. And God is moving. Amen. He's moving by his spirit. And this is what meetings are all about. Amen. It's about seeing lives that have changed. You put people in the right environment, anything can happen, right? So, you know, we just thank God for that testimony. That's powerful. It's powerful. Amen. You know, actually, in all honesty, I believe the prophet told us that the healing of the soul was greater than the healing of the body. Amen. So that is powerful, and we're so appreciative of that. My, look like new money, Brother Jerry. Wouldn't have recognized you. My, God bless you, man. Glory to God. You just keep on keeping on, brother. Amen. God will take you further than you ever could imagine. Amen. You just keep on keeping on. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The first one say amen, and then the next one say amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Y'all don't be careful. I might break out in a dance with Brother Simba. We had church. My God. Amen. That's all right. That's all right. Can't never get enough of that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Brother Jeffrey, come on and, amen, lead us in this song of worship. Amen. A song that the Lord put in his spirit. And I pray that you all will enter in, amen, as he sings this song, as we turn the order of the service. to the word of God after his special. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Just have a song here, just a few words to it, but it should be a blessing to you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me. Anointing fall on me. Can we sing that together? Anointing fall on me. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me. Anointing fall. Anointing fall on me. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me. Anointing fall on me. Touch my hands, my mouth and my heart. Fill my life, Lord. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me. Anointing fall. Anointing fall on me. Let your word. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me. Sing that song. Let the power of, let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me. Sing, let the power of, let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me. Let the power, let the power. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on. Let the power of, let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on. Anointing fall on. Let's sing that again. Let your anointing
God bless you, Brother Jeffrey. We certainly appreciate, amen, that song on today. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me. Amen. Anybody want more? Are y'all had enough, or do you want more? Amen. Thank you, musicians. We appreciate you all on today. I'll tell you this, you can never exhaust the resources of Almighty God, and that's in anything that you need from Him. Last week was just a wonderful, wonderful move of the Spirit of God. We had been under expectation for former rain and latter rain to come together, and we saw some of that on last week. I was talking with Brother Wesco on the phone, and he was telling me, say, Brother Jack, I was talked to him on Monday, and then I saw him again yesterday. He said, I'm still under the anointing from the service on last Sunday. He said, it's been a long time since I've been in a service like that. And he kept telling everybody, I was looking for Brother Jack to rescue me, and he just kept ignoring me. Said, no, brother, just put him on up there. Just let it flow out of him, you know, and man, I mean, he got the being Brother Wesco. You know who Brother Wesco? He got the, I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above him. Amen. 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 Y'all, when y'all do stuff like that, it do stuff to the preacher. I'm telling you. When everybody, and we ain't gotta wait for meetings for that. We having a meeting right now. We having a meeting right now. But it's up to us to create our own atmosphere. And we'll see God do some things. Just everything broke loose. I went to see things. You know, sometimes, you know, praise God, sometimes you can catch things on the video, sometimes you can't. Yeah. It all depends on who on the camera. Man, I was so blessed. I looked back there. I say, somebody get him. Camera equipment. And Brother Jerry said, I'm going to get mine. Y'all can have his camera. Say, that's all right, Brother Jerry. Amen. You feel it like that? Come on down, brother, and get in where you fit in. I saw Brother Jerry get his, and before you know, Brother Quentin done dropped the sound system. Whoa! So what happened here in this church? I said, my God, and Brother Simba, they got his song. So y'all shouldn't have did it. He was trying to just. I see that. and I was so glad Brother Caleb spotted it. Put his camera down. Hey! That thing get contagious up in here. Glory to God. That's what we talking about. Praise God. And I'm going to tell you, if you didn't get yours last week, God got some more this week for you. Glory to God. Just don't be afraid to enter in. When the angel trouble the water, you got to jump in. You won't get your blessing unless you get in. Hallelujah. When them people sat around there, around that gate, waiting for the angel to come, they weren't sitting there looking pretty. Huh? Amen. Somebody was getting in the water. They knew they was going to get wet. They knew they was not going back home the same way they came. That's naturally or spiritually. So when God begin to trouble things, you got to jump in. If you need healing,
jump in. If you need deliverance, jump in. Whatever you need, jump in. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
My God. I would say, Lord, this is all right. This is all right. Sister Bird's got that little song going, and she, like he came to walk with her. She was walking with him. And it just exploded. You know, I said, man, it's just a nice atmosphere. And I know the prayer and the fasting and all that, God honored it. And I know that we're going to see more of that. Sometimes you just want to do services at home because it creates memories for you, for us, you know. And we'll go back looking at them videos years later. But man, look at this. Amen. And Brother Jerry back there, he can put a stake down and say, that was a weekend. See, that was my weekend. Remember y'all had them service? That was my weekend. That'll be his stake, right? Amen. Even after God has moved us on, we'll still have that stake. Glory to God. Amen. God is a good God. God is a good God. I had to come repair the carpet through the week. Something happened in the middle aisle right here. Amen. We had to repair the carpet. Sister Michelle cut the rug. Say praise is what I do. Amen. I was created to praise him. And see, I like that. I like people ain't sitting around here looking to see what you're gonna do. I come to get mine. You remember the story of the farmer, I believe it was, and they say he made too much noise in church, so they sent the committee after him, and went to his house and say, now, Shouting John, you just shout too much. Say, we don't have that kind of shouting in our church. And they say, well, he said, you know, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do it, but it just seemed like every time something, you know, just happened, it just come out of me. What's in me gonna come out of me, right? So they said, well, we don't want you to come back to the church if you're gonna be shouting like that. He said, okay. And he was walking his mules, and they say, looked around at all the property God had blessed him with, and say, God been too good to me for me not to shout. Right, when I look at how God has blessed me, and he did this and he did that, I can't help but shout. But see, I tell you what, I ain't got to come to church. Would you do me a favor? Hold my mule. I don't want my mules to run nowhere. I don't want nobody to take my mules, so just hold them right here. Because I ain't got to be in church to shout. I shout wherever I am when I begin to think of how good God has been to me. It make me want to shout. Glory. Man, I tell you. You saw the atmosphere just mind just shifting. I mean, while the brothers was up here, had them a little cone, the sisters took over a little cone over there. Man, I said, Lord, this what I'm talking about. This what I'm talking about. Amen. I said, you know, we needed a good service like that just to express ourselves to the Lord, and this is, you know, this is exactly where we want to be. Say you shouldn't have all that emotion. We can't have enough. Man, amen. I wish I didn't get tired, because I was so worshiping. I'm telling you, I so worship. God is good. God is good. A couple things that I need to make mention of, and I'm going to try to get here into a little thought for today, but the Lord had given me a dream some time ago, and he showed me a person coming into the church, that they walked right through the doors of the church, and I told my wife about the dream, you know, so the Lord gave me this, and this person going to be walking through the church, and when they come, you know, they're coming alone, alone. I said, but they're coming through the church. I saw them walk through the church. And I don't know, it's been a couple years that the Lord gave me that. And last weekend, I saw it fulfilled. amen, right here in our meetings. It's the person just walked right in and I say, that was my dream, you know, right there. And, you know, and I think it's more to it just, amen, than that. I think God got something else in store. But I saw it fulfilled, you know, right before my very eyes in those in the meetings. And, you know, there was a sister that was sharing a testimony with me. She was telling me how she had a dream. And in this dream, she was, you know, she was kind of in a church. And say, like, this lady came in the church and the lady got on her back. And she say, you know, the ladies told me I was in a seat and had me get up out of seat and all that. She, the lady just, you know, just became like a weight to me. She, I got out of her seat, gave her the seat, then she jumped on my back and said, as I was trying to get rid of us, and I just began to walk towards the altar. And as I was walking towards the altar, as I got to the altar, I did like this. And she came off my back. And then Brother Dwayne come in here. Say, sometimes the devil just on your back. And say, sometimes what you got to do is just. And say, when that happened, the sister just lost it. Because her dream that she had was just preached right back to her. Supernatural. Supernatural. I mean, God was moving in this place, y'all. And you know, we laugh at little things here and there, but I wanna be careful. I know sometimes you can laugh too much and then you end up binding somebody. Yeah. I don't want that to happen. Yeah. Amen. I want us to enjoy Jesus. Yeah. Right? I want us to enjoy Jesus. I'd rather see you doing this for the Lord than anything else. Yeah. Amen. Y'all saw Brother Nathan over there. Yeah. Yeah. He's trying to get in. He was trying to. He was getting in. I said, well, come on, bro. Amen. Yeah, you know, it's just, you know, the Lord is good, y'all. And that's what you want to see when people come. You want them just to be able to express themselves and just, you know, amen. Not worry about anything. You ain't gotta worry about who gonna look at me, who gonna say this. Forget about that. Right. They ain't done nothing for you. They're doing all that laughing. They ain't paid one bill. Right? They ain't answered one prayer. And they're doing all that laughing. Right? So don't let that hinder you. Praise God. Don't let what other folks say hinder you. This is a church where we worship God in spirit and in truth. I know why I shout. I done seen my name. And when John saw his name, the Bible say all heaven heard John. All earth heard John. Everything under the earth heard John. And John represented the bride. John represented me. And when I see my name, I'm going to shout. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen, church. I tell you what, you know, so I want to make sure that, you know, I want everybody to know what you did last week, you keep on doing. Man, I like that. Brother Jerry reminded me when I was young. Man, we used to run all the way from the back. And we held it in. What? Well, the devil didn't know what was about to hit him. I mean, because Brother Jerry came stealth mode. Yep. Don't that feel better? Yeah. I mean, you know, sometimes the devil gets you all wound up and all tight and all kind of stuff you don't went through. It feels good to just come to church and give a good, healthy amen. 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 No, stand up. Amen. Say it like you mean it. Glory to God. That's what I'm talking about, church. Y'all keep that going. Now, you know, Brother Remy Church is kind of like that. And I'm not saying we got to be like his church, but, man, they don't mind worshiping the Lord. And they'll actually come to your church. Right? They'll come to your church and create an atmosphere. They don't just do that just at their church. When they get to your church, they'll do some things. I say, Lord, that's the way we need to create atmospheres. God does things in atmospheres. Atmospheres. That's what it takes for people to give birth, the right atmosphere. So we're just so grateful. So grateful for the Lord. And like I said, I know that there's many testimonies, and we want to make room for anyone that I want to try to give room. And let me ask a question. If I was to ask this question, anybody got like something real burning they want to testify about today, just what the Lord did for them last week? I'm not talking about something, no. Don't go back 10 years ago. Last week. Okay. Brother Caleb. Anybody else got anything? Okay. I mean, this is going to be one I'm not going to beg people to testify. I'm going to ask this only one time. But I got something to preach. I saw Brother Caleb, myself, Sister Rachel, anybody else? That's all I saw. And now when they come up here, I don't want you to say, don't do that. Not today. So that's all I got. All right, Sister Rachel, come first, and then we'll let Brother Caleb testify, and then we'll go from there, all right? Praise the Lord. Amen. God is good. Oh, I need to share with y'all another testimony as Sister Rachel's coming. Last week, when I had announced about that, y'all know what I'm talking about? Brother Danny and Sister Michelle came to me after service and said, Brother Jack, right before we moved into our church, we went through the exact same thing. They had moved a number of churches in, and we actually had to readjust our services to try to counteract what they were doing. He said, but right when, he said, that's when God opened up a door for us to go out. So I was glad that was happening, because then we could hear, you know, the testimony. And now my faith has been elevated. Amen. Sister Rachel, amen, if you would come, and then after her, Brother Caleb, amen. Thank you.
God bless you. A couple of weeks ago, Sister Rebecca came up and gave a testimony. I believe it was about camp. She had gone to camp, and she was struggling with some things. And God had, just that weekend, God had delivered her. And during the time that she was giving her testimony, I was actually in the back, and Sister Sarah was sick that day, so she was in the back. And I went to Sister Sarah, and I'm like, you know, I'm struggling with the same thing. And we just started talking, and she just started encouraging me. But still, I just felt like that was just on my heart and on my back and on my mind and everything like that. And so when we came to service last weekend, and Brother Lawson was preaching the last service, I was sitting in the back, and he started talking about, you know, the game of war that Brother Jeff was talking about. And he said, you know, if the devil is on your back, well, actually before that, I forgot what he said, but I was gone. And then he said, you know, if the devil's on your back, just stand up. And I started just feeling that breakthrough come, you know, just feeling that breakthrough come. And he's called for the musicians, and I said to myself, this is why sometimes I just want to stay. Like, I just want to be out there, because when you're playing, sometimes I've been known to do it, but sometimes you cannot just stop playing. So I said, Lord, I can't go up there. I can't go up there. I need you now. And immediately, I just got a breakthrough immediately. And then I heard him, I went back and watched the video, and I realized that the reason he did it was because he started doing this. And he said, I heard him saying, devil, I'm still here. And that was what I was struggling with, just so many different, you know, depression and all this other stuff that I was struggling with. And when he started saying, devil, I'm still here, it just broke free in me. It just broke free in me, and a lot of the thoughts that I had coming into the meetings, the negative thoughts that I was having, I can say this week I have not had one. Just I have not had one negative thought. Even just self-image, you know, that can be a big deal to people. And I noticed this week I was looking at pictures of me and I was like, hey, kind of cute, you know. But to somebody that, oh, you're conceited. No, that's a big deal to me, because that, you know, the devil will use self-image to just trigger so many other little things. And he was using that. And it's just sitting back, just thinking about all of that, I was like, yeah, I know God did something for. And actually, when I went to camp a couple years ago, Brother Dwayne Lawson preached. We went to church, and Brother Dwayne Lawson preached, and he preached on depression. He preached on it real strong. And I went up, and I asked him to pray for me. He prayed for me. So when he came down again this week, I said, God, if you used him one time to speak to me and to deliver me, and I allowed that to come back on me, then I know you can use him again to speak to me and to deliver me from that. And God used Brother Dwayne all back over again. So I just wanted to thank him for that.
Thank the Lord for that. That's what it's all about, church. That's what it's all about. Amen. Brother Caleb, you come at this time. Amen. And just share.
God bless you. It was a little while ago. I called Brother Solomon, and I told him, I said, you know, I wanted to change some things this year, and I wrote a lot of stuff down. I spent probably like good 2 or 3 hours at Starbucks just writing things down that I would like to change. And one of the things was, you know, trying to get to church more, trying to get to church early on time and stuff. We stayed on the phone, I want to say, about for 2 hours. Trying to get to church early and on time. And, you know, we were on the phone for a very long time, about like 2 hours. And so as, you know, it was going on, the meetings were coming up, and I was like, you know, I want to try to get to, you know, all the meetings. But right before the meetings start, you know, around that time, I started getting sick. And I contacted, you know, Mom, and I said, you know, Mom, I'm not feeling well. And she was like, you know, we'll take some medicine and then go from there. I said, okay. And I felt it coming. I was like, man, you know, this is you know, going on, but I want to get to the meeting. So got to the meetings and, you know, did my recordings and all that kind of stuff, and I wasn't feeling well again. So I got to Saturday night, and then, you know, I got here, and then Sunday after church, I wasn't feeling well, so I was going to go home. And Sister Naomi, she came and got me. She said, no, Brother Caleb, come out with us. I said, I'm not feeling well. She said, no, come out with us because, you know, we want you to be around. So I said, all right. And that's one of the things I wrote down, you know, hanging out a little bit more. So I said, you know what? All right, I'll go. So we went to Chili's. We sat down. We talked. And then I left and I went home and I changed my clothes really quick. And I said, let me take some medicine and get to church. So before I say that, I can honestly say I've never really experienced healing before. A lot of other things I've experienced, but never healing before. And so when I was getting ready to take my take the medicine, I had everything, and I looked at the time. I said, man, I only got 15 minutes. I got to get there. So I was running around the house, got everything together, and I got in the car, and I drove out of my neighborhood. When I drove out of my neighborhood, it hit me in the head that you didn't take your medicine. I was like, oh. So I made a U-turn to go get my medicine, but then after that, I was like, you know what? And this is exactly what I said. I said, you know what? Let me try this healing thing out. Because, you know, I mean, I've spoken before, and I've seen God touch other people or anything, but I've never really had to go through a situation where you just need God to touch your body. And I said, you know what? Let me try this healing thing out. So I made a U-turn, and I drove, and, man, I was beelining it here, and I got here at 6:02. So I was like, oh, all right, I'm kind of on time. So I walked through, and then the service went on, and I still wasn't feeling well. And, you know, at the end of the service, my granddad, he was, you know, doing what Wescos do. And so I was recording everything, and I'm feeling really good and everything, but I'm still not feeling well. The service ends, and I go home, didn't really even think about it. I wake up the next morning, And another thing I wanted to do, I wanted to read my Bible more. So I started reading my Bible. I closed it, and I walked away. And as soon as I walked away, I said, I'm not sick no more. I'm like, I'm not sick. So that little thing has opened up a lot for me as well. And I told Sister Cobb, I said, you know, this year I'm living by a couple of words: think big, expect big, receive big, and give big. And little things like that have been happening this year, and I'm just grateful for that. So that's what happened for me. So.
Praise the Lord. Thank God for touching our precious brother. Certainly appreciate that. And probably shouted his way right out of trouble. Amen. Amen. Atmosphere has changed a lot of things. Amen. We thank the Lord. Well, praise the Lord. We appreciate that. And if anybody, you know, we'll try to set up a service sometime in the near future for anyone that want to share other testimonies at that time. Amen. But let me just kind of share a little thought here today with us, if I can. If you'd just stand with me and open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 8. Amen. Revelation chapter 8. Thank God for all things. Amen. I'm going to start at verse 3 here in Revelation chapter 8. And the Bible says, "And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake." Amen. The Lord had a blessing to the reading of his word. Let's just bow in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for all that has happened thus far in the service, the various testimonies. You've showed yourself real in our midst. And we know you're still here. God, we are still coming as people that are in need of you. So we trust, Lord, that the Spirit would just take control over this portion of the service as well, and that you would get the glory and the honor through the thought that's shared. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Amen. Just want to use for our subject, amen, today: all things are ready, let the fire fall. Amen. Amen. All things are ready, let the fire fall. And let me just try to start here, just read a couple things for you. This is going to come out of questions and answers, part one. A question here that was given to the prophet. It says, "Dear Brother Branham, do you believe that signs should follow all who have the Holy Spirit? Jesus said so, Mark 16. If so, what about the people who believe the message with all that is in them, yet they have not these signs? Are they unbelievers, or do they need the Holy Spirit? If so, please instruct us today how to receive the Holy Ghost. We believe you are God's mouthpiece for our day, your brother." So he says, "Thank you, my brother, for regarding me as your brother. And I think that's a very good question. Friends, yes, it is a little slack." He says, "I like to deal a little bit longer on that if I could." See, if it is slack, look, some of you, when you cannot receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost without, he says, you cannot receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost without having an experience when it happened, right? So you can't receive it without having an experience. Now, we know he also said in one place that you can have the Holy Ghost without sensation, but there's some change that takes place after the Holy Spirit comes in, right? So now, if you believe every speck of the word, say you believe every speck of it, then the word is laying in there waiting for the Holy Spirit to put it to work. The word is laying there waiting for the Holy Spirit to put it to work, but it takes the lighting of the candle. Oh, I love that. Amen. The word is laying there waiting for the Holy Spirit to put it to work, but it takes the lighting of the candle. Here's a candle with the wick in it and with the tallow and everything it has to have in that candle, But until the fire comes on it, it will not shine any light. Amen. You know, some people just got candles in their house for decoration. Amen. But when we're coming here and we're talking about your life being a candle, the candle must be lit if it's going to, amen, bring forth a fire, right? Hallelujah. If it's going to provide light, the candle has to be lit. All right. Amen. It says no matter how perfect the candle is and how perfect it'll burn and everything, it's got to be lit and then it burns. And when you believe and made up of the instructions of what the Holy Spirit is, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, the fruits that it bears out, until the Holy Spirit with a fiery experience comes down and lights that candle, then you haven't received the Holy Ghost. Oh, I like that. Amen. Until the Holy Spirit comes down and lights that candle, then you haven't received the Holy Ghost. See, you've got to have the experience to have the Holy Ghost. And I just want to lay that in there because I believe that this is a season where God is moving. He wants to fill his people. He is filling his people. He's refilling his people. He's doing everything that we ask him to do. I believe many last week got their refilling. I believe many last week got their filling. Amen. I believe the Holy Spirit came in and lit somebody's candle. We were talking about light the fire again in the fourth generation. I saw the candle get lit in the fourth generation. And remember now, when I get my candle lit, you ain't got to work that hard to get your candle lit. Come on, somebody. If my candle is burning, then all I got to do is give you a piece of mind. Hallelujah. Amen. They told me that even after the services were over, the brothers was in the back here praying. What was it? I got my candle lit. I want to give you a piece of mind. Glory to God. Yes, amen, amen, amen. You see, so here's a scripture that kind of that was in my spirit, Matthew 3:11. John the Baptist makes this comment, when Jesus was coming to him to be baptized, and John says, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance." Amen. I indeed do that. And many people, you know, they repent and they get baptized in water. Hallelujah. But that's not the end of the promise. Amen. You have to go on to receive the baptism of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. It says, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost." And I love this part. "And with fire." Glory. "He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." Now, the prophet told us, watch that word fire. He said, because, amen, when the Holy Ghost is used, the Holy Ghost and fire, says, the Holy Ghost fire will burn sin out. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I told you I was coming with a trash can. Amen. To pick up all the trash from the revival. Because when the Holy Ghost comes, he burns sin out. When you've had an experience with God, sin is defeated in your life. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. No more playing pity-pat with the devil. Like one brother, Brother Joe, years ago said, we used to play tug-of-war with the devil. Amen. You pull, he pull. You pull, he pull. Amen. And with a tug-of-war, you got to watch it, because whoever end up in the little lake there, the little mud, going to get all dirty. So you pulling this way, he pulling. You pulling, he pulling. And you can feel yourself sometimes just getting closer and closer to the mud. Closer and closer to sin. How you feel yourself getting closer and closer. The devil's still pulling, but if you just use, amen, what God gave you. God gave you some, amen, he gave you some inspiration. You can just use a little bit of that. You realize that if I just let go the rope, I ain't got to keep pulling with the devil. Amen. His desires are still kill and destroy. So why am I going to keep pulling with the devil? I'm going to let go the rope and that devil going to fall off. Hallelujah. Whatever you have been struggling with, let go the rope. Praise God. You ain't got to leave service and go pick up the rope no more. Let go the rope. Don't struggle with that devil no more. God already gave you your experience. Praise God. Keep the fire lit.
Once you get it lit, keep it lit. Hallelujah. And the Holy Ghost fire will burn sin out of our lives. Oh, glory. Amen, amen, amen. I believe that with all my heart. And Brother Branham was telling a little story. Amen. Here, you know, we need fire in the church. And I'm pulling this out of Israel in the church, part 3, paragraph 161. We need fire in the church. And I was so glad, you know, just to kind of feel the you know, that anointing that kind of came in. Especially, I mean, the brother started us off on Saturday morning and talk about what good would it be, right? You know, that we do all the praying, we do all the fasting, but at the end, God don't come down and fill the temples. Hallelujah. Amen. What, and God came right down and did it. And before he did it, he had to break through your mind battles. Yes. Yes. He had to break through your discouragement. Yes. Hey. Yes. He had to break through some of your thoughts. Yes. And the Holy Spirit told you, all I need you to do is get empty. Yes. Right? And he said, because he said, I know your vessel might be bruised. Your vessel might even feel like it's about to break. It ain't broken, because if it's broken, we might not be able to use it. But it feel like it's about to break. He say it's all beat up. It's all smashed up. My vessel don't look that pretty. Amen. But the question was, it's not, is it pretty? Amen. The question was, is it empty? And if the vessel was empty, he said, then bring it on up here. And say, God will fill it. And God did exactly that. Took them empty vessels and he filled it. Hallelujah. We need fire. Amen. We need fire. Look at this. Israel and the church, the prophet says a lot of people ain't even got enough steam up to say amen. You know, you got to get some steam in you that you can even just release an amen. Right? They ain't got enough steam up to say amen. You can have that free. Right, your amen is free. You ain't got to pay for that. But you need some steam, some fire to cause you to say amen. Hallelujah, right? He say, what we need tonight, listen, civilization comes by fire. Go back and find the tribes that use fire. Fire makes my clothes, right? Fire makes the light. Fire heats my dinner. Everything comes by fire. If you live in modern civilization, you live by fire. Even to crank your car, it's going to take a little spark, some fire. Hallelujah. Your car ain't going nowhere without fire. If your car won't go nowhere without fire, you won't go anywhere without fire. You need Holy Ghost and fire. Hallelujah. And I'm saying all things are ready. Let the fire fall. We need fire. Praise God. Don't bring no water. We want fire. Fire to burn out sin. Fire to defeat mind battles. Fire to change lives. We need fire. Listen here, he says, if you live in the divine presence of God, says you're baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. Now, you know, he goes on in this quote, and I won't read all of it, but he talked about this little turtle. And, you know, you can pull it down, sis. He says, you know, he talked about the little turtle and say, you know, he saw this turtle and said, man, this turtle looks so strange. Him and his daughter, you know, got the turtle and said, turtle looks so strange. And he says, I'm going to take this turtle. I'm going to do a few things with him. And he said, took the turtle, and he said, took a switch. Hallelujah. And took a switch. He said, I'm going to make this turtle move. Because he said, every time he go to pick up the turtle stick his head back in the shell. It just wouldn't do nothing. So he said, I'm going to make this turtle move. So he took a switch, and he said, I'm going to beat this turtle until it move. And he took that switch and just beat. And he just beat. The turtle won't move at all. Won't even stick his head out. Ain't fazed by the beating. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. And I find that too. Sometimes you can come and preach a real hard message. Yeah. You know, sometimes people get this very thick shell. Yeah. that they're not even impacted by how hard that message is. The Bible said the love of many wax cold, right? So, I mean, people's heart is not touched like it used to be touched by the things of God. Amen. So he said, I was beating that turtle would not move. And he said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to take this turtle, I'm going to put it in water, and I'm going to make a move. He's going to start swimming in this water. So he took him and he put him in water. He drowned him in the water. Say, all he saw was just a few bubbles going up. Amen. The turtle wouldn't move, just bubbles coming. He just breathing underneath the water. And you know, and I find, you know, we can take people, bring them into the church, and we can get them baptized in water. Right. Hallelujah. Brother Branham said they'll go in a dry center, but come up a wet center. Yeah. Nothing really changed. Right? They still go right back to the same old sins and things like that. Nothing really changed. He said, so I tried to beat it out of them. That didn't work. I tried to put them in water. That didn't work. He said, oh, I got something to make it work. So then he said, he got some sticks together. And he put them sticks down, and then he lit a fire. And he said, he put that turtle on top of the fire. And when the turtle got on the fire, everything started moving in the turtle. Them legs start moving, the head come out. He got out of that fire as fast as he could. And I'm going to tell you, if you ever want to see the church move in the right direction, we're going to need some fire. Praise God. That's what we believe in God for. Holy Ghost fire. That's it, brother. Fuego. Amen. What language? You got fire in your language? What they say fire? How this? Moto. Inja. Anybody speak Creole? How they say Creole? A fire in Creole? Defend. Praise God. In English, we say fire. Every language is spoken for. Hallelujah. Let God send fire. Praise God. Amen. 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 Stay with me here. Listen, you know, we were riding that quote, and I'm just giving you the highlights of the Ephesian church age. Remember, history keeps repeating itself. In the generation of Israel, we see revival in one generation only to see fire. The fire's fading in the next. Right? In the third generation, embers may be glowing slightly. Not always catch these things, but the prophet is telling us, in order for you to keep the fire burning, you got to tend it. Right? You got to tend the fire. Hallelujah. Glory. You got to have some new logs to put on it. You got to have some new coal to put on it. Amen. Whatever type of, whether it's a firewood or fire coal, you got to have something that you can put on it. And actually what happened, like you got wood, amen, it start burning in the middle, push it in. Yeah. Yeah. Keep pushing it in. Yeah. Hallelujah. That way your fire don't go out. Yeah. Come on, somebody. Yeah. Glory. Yeah. If we were sitting at a campfire, both of us probably can't sleep at night. Yeah. Somebody's got to tend this fire. Yeah. So I'm going to sleep for a little bit, and you tend it. And then I'm gonna let you sleep for a little bit, and I'm gonna tend it. But we gotta keep this fire going. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Oh, hallelujah. We don't want it to get cold in the church. Amen. We don't want to just have one weekend a year. Huh? That's not what we're looking for. Glory to God. We want Holy Ghost fire. And we're gonna tend it by coming to prayer meeting. Amen. So this week the brothers pray. Next week the sisters pray. The following week the brothers pray. The next week the sisters pray. We're going to keep this fire going. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. See, history keeps repeating itself in a generation of Israel. We see revival in one generation only to see the fires fading in the next. In the third generation, embers may be glowing slightly, but in the fourth, there may be no vestige or no trace whatsoever of the original flame. And I love this. Then God lights the fire again, and the same process is repeated. And what we're seeing and what we're under expectation for is God lighting the fire again. That's exactly what he's doing. He's lighting the fire again. Hallelujah. I believe that. Let me slip over to a scripture here
in Isaiah 6. Praise God. Isaiah 6. Amen. The servant of God could not be used until he come in contact with God's fire. You know, Moses couldn't go be a deliverer until he impacted fire, came in contact with fire, the fire of God. Amen, amen, amen. And this is the type of same fire that Moses saw there at the burning bush. This fire, when you get in, it won't consume, it won't burn you like that. Just burn sin out. You ain't got to, it's like the Hebrew boys when they went in fire. They nothing happened to them. Amen. This happened to the fellas that was trying to bind them. So anything that's trying to bind you, it will be broken when it gets in fire. Are you getting that? Whatever, amen, depression is broken when you come in contact with fire. Oppression is broken when you come in contact with fire. Huh? Amen. Whatever it is, lust is broken when you come in contact with fire. Huh? Praise God. Every devil is broken when you come in contact with fire. You know, I mean, like, you know, you need fire before you sit down and, you know, you go to the restaurant, you want a steak. You don't eat the steak raw. You don't eat the steak raw. It wouldn't be good. So you tell them to put some fire. Put the steak on, put it on the fire and make it medium well for me. Amen. But it has to touch the fire. Amen. If your meat don't touch the fire, you'll get sick. Right? But you need that stuff to touch the fire before they bring it out to you. Yes. Amen. If eating requires fire, huh? And for you to stay alive naturally requires fire. You're going to need fire spiritually. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Ooh, glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. I'm looking at this in Isaiah 6 because this servant of God, this prophet of God, amen, needed fire. He needed fire. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. And here in the verse 1, Isaiah 6 says, in the year that King Uzziah died. And everybody in here got a King Uzziah in their life. Yeah. Everybody got something that they look to. Yeah. Oh, hallelujah. See, this was Isaiah, this was the person that influenced him the most. Yep. Can we talk to you just a little bit? Amen. This person influenced the prophet the most. He looked at him, and King Uzziah was a good king, right? You know, now he did one thing bad. Yeah. Amen. He actually went and touched some fire that he shouldn't have been touching. Right. Hallelujah. Right. Amen. But he got in trouble for some things that he did because that was a priest's job to actually handle things at the altar. Only the priest should do that. But here he is waving incense and all that, and he got struck with leprosy. Right. But the Bible tells us here that in the year that King Uzziah died, the thing that was influencing him the most, oh, my God, the thing that's bothering you the most, when that thing dies, then you'll see God. Amen. Hallelujah. Because sometimes we got our attention on other stuff besides God. Amen. He's not in first place. When we can put God in first place, and some things have to die in your life in order for God to come in first place. Because it was only after Uzziah died that Isaiah saw the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah, somebody. Amen. Only after he died, when that relationship dies, then you'll see the Lord.
Amen.
Maybe a friendship need to die. Amen. Then you'll see the Lord. Amen. Glory.
Glory.
All right.
Yes, sir.
Maybe God might have to move you off that job. The job have to die.
Yes,
then I saw the Lord. And notice now, it says in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. His glory just all over the place. It says, I saw that last week, his glory just all over the place. I remember the Lord told us that he was going to send showers of blessing. Right, and I saw showers falling on this side, showers falling on that, showers here, showers is everywhere in the place. Hallelujah, and God ain't finished yet. Amen. 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 He ain't finished yet. He said, and one had six wings. Above it stood train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. With twain, of which two, he covered his face. And with twain, or two, he covered his feet. With twain, he did fly. Listen. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Now, let me also say this. Amen. You might say, well, I don't worship God like that. I don't worship God. I don't stand up and do it. I just like to sit here and be good. I tell you what, let me put some fire underneath your seat. I guarantee you'll change your position. Hallelujah. Amen. And that's all you need is Holy Ghost fire. It'll change your response.
Yes, it will, brother. Amen.
All right. Now, listen. Glory to God. Amen. Verse 4, and the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphim unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away. Now, in order for his sin to be removed, he had to receive fire. Listen, amen. This hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, thy sin, and thy sin purged. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will I go, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Now you see, in the fourth generation, glory to God, there has to be a confession, there has to be a cleansing, and then there has to be a commission. See, there has to be a confession, then there has to be a cleansing, and then there has to be the commission. Now, Brother Branham breaks these things down for us, so we're going to look at this just for a little bit. The seraphim that were there in this book of Isaiah, Brother Branham said that they were burners. He said the seraphim means that they were burners. It says they was next to the altar. They actually, the seraphim is the one who receives the sacrifice and cleanses the worshiper and then presents him to God. So the seraphim receives the sacrifice, cleanses the worshiper, and then presents him to God. The seraphim does. Now, this seraphim was angelic beings. He says, and they are the very next ones to God, right at the altar, and they receive the sacrifice. It shows the justice of God that sin cannot come in his presence unless it's been atoned for. So the seraphim are receiving the sacrifice, they're cleansing the worshiper, and then they're presenting them to God. Hallelujah. Now he goes on to say that they had two wings. They had six wings altogether. Two wings, amen, he said, covered their face. Oh, I love this. Two wings to cover their face. He says, now, the holy angels that never know what sin was. He says, they were created a special being and to stand in his presence. Even there, holy angels that have never sinned had to cover their holy faces to stay there. I want you to think about that. Amen. He says, if angels has to cover their holy faces to stand there, what will we do to have to live in the presence of Almighty God if we stay in his presence? Oh, my God. Angels have to cover their faces. Now, angels, amen, they already look holy. God made them holy like that. But we as people, we go through struggle sometimes. Amen. And the devil, rather than us trying to be holy, we're trying to be sexy. Hallelujah, somebody. Amen. But here, angels have to be holy to stand in God's presence. Hallelujah. Don't let that devil come back. Amen. I know God delivers some people from some of the things of the world. Don't let the world come back. Hallelujah. When he sent fire, it took that stuff out. Don't dilly-dally with it. Don't play games with it. Don't play pity-pat with it. Don't compromise with it. Let the things of the world stay the things of the world.
And let the things of God be the things of God. Fire takes this stuff out of you. Right? Fire is what changes you. Oh, my God. Fire is why Brother Jerry got a haircut. Fire did that. Huh? Fire. Fire. Fire changes things. I asked the question, who told him to do that? Nobody. Nobody told him. Say, I want to do this. And he's right in the Word of God. Do you know a man not supposed to have long hair? That's in the Bible. A man not supposed to have long hair. Who taught him that? Nobody preached that last week. The Holy Ghost did. And he's sensitive enough to hear the voice of God to go do something about it. That's fire.
And some of us wanted to play games, but we've been around here too long. Don't let somebody come in here and bypass you. Amen. Right? Don't let that happen. But fire, I mean, I remember Brother Branham going to the meetings over in Africa. And these ladies come to the service, they was dressed incorrectly. They were not dressed.
Yeah.
It was natural for them. It was a very natural thing for the women. They do their breastfeeding and all of that. So they just come with nothing, no covering at all. They come to church and they sit there, listen to the word of God, and just breastfeeding their babies. Nothing. It was so natural. So Brother Branham just preached, and he prayed for the sick and did all of that. And he said the Holy Spirit came down. Just, my God, the presence of God was just so strong. He never said a word. They come back to the next service. Who told these ladies, all of them, come back with tops on? Who told them to put the clothes on? Hallelujah. Yeah. And see, in America today, they want to take their clothes off and go to church.
Yes.
You ain't going to no beach. You're in the presence of God.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Huh? So dress like you're in his presence. Yeah. People dress better for a president than they do for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Huh? Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. There are certain things you just don't wear. And when you realize that you can't wear it in certain places, then you realize you can't wear it at all. It's not just I can't wear this at church. You know what? I'm always in church. I'm in church 24/7. The church is not a building. The church is an atmosphere that I live in all the time. I'm always in church, so I'm going to dress like I'm in church. I'm going to carry myself like I'm in church. Huh? You know some of the stuff that the devil gets you doing when you get alone by yourself? Why? How come he won't come to you like that in church? So what you got to do is flip the script on the devil. Let the devil know, I'm in church right now. When you're alone, put on a tape. Put yourself in an atmosphere. I'm in church. Hallelujah. Amen. I ain't doing none of that. That devil know he can't bother you like that when you're in that type of atmosphere. So you got to stay in that atmosphere. You won't send a text like that in church. You won't say nothing like that in church. Huh? You won't respond like that in church. Glory. So stay in church. All right. So here, holy angels will have to cover their faces. Amen. I know God washed some faces last week. God wash their faces.
Amen.
Don't let the devil have you go put that stuff back on.
Yeah.
He washed fingers. He washed faces. Amen. He washed toes.
Amen.
You're not impressing God with that stuff.
Yeah.
You impress your fellow man, a person that can't put you in hell or heaven.
Amen.
But God don't look at you like that. When you were born plain.
Amen.
You ought to die that way too. Live that way and die that way.
Amen.
Hello, somebody.
Amen.
Fire, wash that stuff out of you.
Amen.
And wash the desire for it out of you, too.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
Fire will do that.
Amen.
Amen. If we get everybody underneath this fire, I'll tell you, something will happen. And I'm telling you, all things are ready. Let the fire fall. Let the fire fall. Let me keep going. Let me keep going. They had these two wings to cover their face because they couldn't stand in God's presence. I mean, his holy presence, even with their face uncovered, right? So not only that, they had two wings to cover their feet. And the feet, the reason that their feet was covered, it represented humility. Glory to God. The prophet says this in the message, Influences. He says, now, secondly, they cover their feet. What? They covered their feet meant humility. Covering their face meant reverence in God's presence. Covering their feet was humility in his presence. And he says, like Moses in his presence, taking off his shoes, uncovered his feet. Paul, when he found Jesus, the pillar of fire, he fell to the ground off his feet. Where his feet should have been, he had his face humility. John the Baptist, the great prophet, first one been on the land in 400 years, and he said, I'm not worthy to touch his feet to unloose the latch that's on his sandal. And it says, see, the one over his feet covered meant humility. Watch this servant now before God. His face covered in reverence. His feet covered in humility. Yes, and very conscious. Be very conscious of your littleness. I like that. Be very conscious of your littleness. All of us is trying to be some big somebody. I am Dr. So-and-so, so great and so-and-so. You are nothing. Amen. That's right. You're nothing. If you want to know how great you are, put your finger in a pool of water and pull it out and find the hole. When you put your finger in the water and pull it out, find the hole. Praise God. He say, find the hole where you put it in. See, there is nothing there. And that's what we are. God can do without us. Now, you know, sometimes we don't heard that God needs you. Yeah, he does, but you need him more than he needs you. God can do without us, but we can't do without him. Who are you? See, being conscious of how little you are, the way up is down. He that humbles himself shall be exalted. He that exalts himself shall be abased. And the prophet told a story about this one man. He went to church and he went to preach, and man, he had a nice sermon. He wanted to kind of come and preach against some of the things that the people were actually rejoicing over. He'd come up there and talk about, you know, from the scripture standpoint, these things are wrong. And he had his text all laid out. He walked up, had his collar turned around. He walked up there, and he was just preaching, just laying out all these big words. The people had no idea what he was talking about, using Greek and all of this. And you know, hallelujah. So we just use a prophet. Amen. We use what a prophet say. We don't have the Greek, and, you know, the Greek interpreters, they actually fuss with each other. Yes, so how you know which one I'm right? Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. God don't use the Greek. He used the prophet.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. But they're going back and forth. He used on his Greek, and he walked up. He had his Bible. He just, you know, he was just carrying that thing. And, you know, just carrying this thing. You know, he walked up, and then all of a sudden he got to a certain spot in his message. He saw the people just was not responding. So he closed up his Bible and put his notes together and walked on down, and he stepped on and was walking away. And as he was walking away, one of them sisters in church saw him walking away, and she just yelled out, if he would have went up the way he came down, he would have came down the way he went up. See, always be conscious of your littleness. If you go up the way you came down, you'll come down the way you went up. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Humility. Two wings for humility. God wants us to walk in humility. And then he had these last two wings. They were two wings to get in action. And the prophet, you know, gives us something here on this, because I like this. Two wings to get in action. And y'all don't realize, some of y'all got some wings last week and you was in action. Man, don't you see Brother Mike brought somebody else back? That's in action.
Amen.
Go get somebody and bring them to church.
Amen.
Now, first, your life got to be lit. And they can see something happening in your life and say, I want some of that. Ooh, glory. All right. Amen. So here, two wings for action. Now, he says this in the message, Influences. I'm at paragraph 129. He says, now watch First, he in the presence of God, he was reverent with his face covered. Secondly, he was humble before God, amen, with his feet covered. Amen. His next two wings, he could fly, put him in action. Oh, my. What was God doing? He was showing the prophet how his prepared servant should be. He was showing the prophet how his prepared servant should be. The God was showing, these are my servants. These are mine. Look how they're prepared. Reverent, humble, and in action. That's the way God's servants are. Oh, my. That's the way we should be, reverent to God's word, humble, and in action for God. Like the woman when she was called into action. Come. And when she said, come see a man who has told me what I've done. His sign influenced her that he was the Messiah. She said, sir, we know when the Messiah is coming. Now you must be a prophet. We know when the Messiah cometh. He will tell us all things. See, she expected him to say, well, the Messiah is coming pretty soon. I'm just forerunning him. But he said, I am he. Yeah. Not forerunning him. The one you're talking to is he. Listen, said that put her in action right now. She went into action. You couldn't stop her. It was like a house on fire. As I said the other night in a high wind, you couldn't stop her. Down into the city she went. Come see a man who told me the things that I've done. Isn't this the Messiah? See, she was in action. Glory. What did she do? She come up first, humbled herself. Bring me a drink. Say, why our fathers drink from this well and so forth. And he said, well, I'll give you water to drink. You don't come here. She said, sir, give me the water. See, she was humble about it. And when she humbled herself, then Jesus showed her the sign of Messiah. And that put her into action. She was ready to go then. She was ready to tell everybody that she come in contact with. See? That's the way we should be after those meetings. We should be in action, ready to tell everybody. Amen. Man, you got to come go to church with me. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's fire there. See, when Moses met God at the burning bush, the bush was burning with fire. And Moses got his commission. Amen. He had to take off his shoes and he stood there before the presence of the Lord. And the prophet told us that the fire that was in the bush, when Moses left the bush, the fire was now in Moses.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Right. See, the fire that was in the meetings.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Now the meetings are over. Uh-huh. The fire should be inside of you.
Yes,
amen. Oh, hallelujah. Yeah. Right? Exodus 3, Moses met the pillar of fire in the bush. In Matthew 3, John said there was one greater that could baptize with the Holy Ghost in fire. Hallelujah. I like this. Moses met God at the burning bush, amen, burning with fire in Exodus 3, and it wasn't consumed. In Matthew 3, John talked about one greater that could baptize with the Holy Ghost in fire. And then in 1933, God sent the pillar of fire to confirm the prophet's commission.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Did you get that? Moses saw it in Exodus 3. John talked about it in Matthew 3, and God confirmed it in Brother Branham's ministry in 1933.
Yes,
watch the threes.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah. See, God used fire. God used fire to prepare his prophet. He used fire to prepare Isaiah. Amen. I want to just kind of go back over here to Revelation 8, and we started from there. And I want you to just see these things. Because here's talking about fire. And notice we just read about the seraphim. They are the ones that offer the sacrifice. They present, amen, the sacrifice. I mean, here you offer your prayer, and they're taking that to God. They present you, they cleanse you, they present you to God. Amen. There's nothing you can do in yourself to even present yourself to God. We're not righteous enough. We need his righteousness. Listen, verse 3 in Revelation 8 says, and another angel came and stood at the altar. Seraphim would be working the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense. And the incense is what creates a beautiful aroma, a smell that goes before God. And mixed with this beautiful aroma, hallelujah. Sometimes if you get into a room that got some real good incense, you want to sit there for a while.
Yeah.
If it got some smelling real good, just sit there. Oh, man, I'm just, ooh, yeah. Boy, this all right. Amen. It's the truth in it, huh?
Yes, sir.
And if you feel that way, what about God? with the incense and the prayers coming before him, this aroma, and your prayers is inside the aroma. Look at it now. Another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. Listen, and the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And I love this. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. Now, when Isaiah was in his vision, the angel took the censer and took a live coal and he brought it back to Isaiah and he touched him. Hallelujah. This is when, you know, when he confessed that, Lord, I'm undone and I dwell in the midst of unclean people. He said, I'm unclean, they unclean. And say, I need a change in my life. So when he confessed that, then the angel took a live coal and he brought it back and he touched him in his mouth. Hallelujah. The cleansing came. Yes. Confession, then a cleansing. And then after he was cleansed, then he could be commissioned.
Yes, sir.
And say, Lord, the Lord asked, who will go for us? And I want to ask the same question to the fourth generation. Who will go for the Lord?
Amen.
See, after the confession, after the cleansing, then, amen, Isaiah could stand there in the presence of God and say, here am I. Send me. God needs somebody to work in this fourth generation. But you can't do it unless you confess, been cleansed, and now get your commission. That only comes after you've been touched by fire.
Right.
Can I go a little further? Look at this now, verse 5. An angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings and an earthquake. Now, that voices, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake, Brother Branham said that shows judgment, right? That's not a mercy seat. That is judgment. And he types it right back over to Exodus 19 when they went to the mountain there and God called them before he gave them the Ten Commandments and everything. God said he wanted to speak to the people. Now, God, what he did, he put a boundary. Say, don't let the people go past this boundary. If an animal go past it, that animal will die. If a man breaks through, that man will die. They had to stay away from the presence of God, right? He said when there was lightning and there was thunders, amen, he said that didn't represent mercy. That was not mercy. That was judgment.
Yeah.
So when we look here in the scripture, we can apply the same principle. Here the Bible is saying, and the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth, and there were voices and thunders and lightnings and an earthquake. So we can see that that's judgment. But I want you to catch that before the voices, the thunderings and the lightnings and the earthquake, the thing that happened before that is that the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and he cast it into the earth. What is this? This is an outpouring of the Holy Ghost before the judgment. Hallelujah. And it comes from the altar of God. It's been burning by fire, but God wants to cast it into your earth. Before the judgment, God wants to send fire. And I say, all things are ready. Let the fire fall. Hallelujah. Let me read just a couple more things for you. This is out of the Message Influences, paragraph 158. The prophet says this. I want you to notice something else. God did not use books and theological terms to cleanse his servant. Amen. He used fire. He never used creeds to clean his servant. He took fire off the altar. And if God ever cleansed a man today, it's got to be the Holy Ghost fire that cleanses a man, not reading a book and doing this or some other book by so-and-so. You can go through the church age study with me. You can do all of that. But unless you get some fire, hallelujah, things won't change until you get on fire.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Listen, says a certain minister here in California said the other day, he said, the book of the year, I differ with him. The book of the year is the Bible, always been. The book of the year is God's book, always. And God used fire to cleanse his servant, then followed after he humbly confess that he was wrong, and then come the cleansing, and after the cleansing, then come the commissioning. See, that's what's the matter. Some of us try to get commissioned before we get cleansed. See, we say, well, I'll follow this. We got to follow God. Them angels did one thing, live in the presence of God, humble, reverent, and in action before God. Then the commission after the confession and cleansing, it was then that the clean Isaiah cried. Now, before that, he was dirty. Yeah. But it was after the confession, after the cleansing, the clean Isaiah cried, here am I, send me. And I believe God got some folk that got cleaned up last week. Amen. And you can stand before his presence and say, Lord, now send me. Yeah. I'll go, God, send me. I want to represent in this fourth generation. Amen. You know, and the scripture also say that the generation that seeks the Lord, I'm a part of that generation. The one that's seeking God, I'm following hard after him. Here am I. Send me. This week, actually today, is the final day, February 12th to February 24th. They have a place called Yosemite National Park. And in the message, Brother Branham called it Glacier National Park. And here at Glacier National Park, they have this big event around this time of year. And they did it this year. They did it from February 12th to February 24th. And today is the final day for what they call the firefall. Today is the final day for that firefall. And people come from everywhere, and they watch the fire fall off of this cliff. And what it is, it's this big mountain. And, you know, actually, if anybody deal with Mac computers, they had an operating system called El Capitan. And El Capitan is taken from a picture of where this mountain is. You know, so what happens is that the history is that there used to be a man. And what he would do is build fires on top of the mountain. And at night, he would just take the coals and just kind of push it down the side of the mountain. And when he'd do that, people from all over would see the fire coming down the mountain like, wow, what a firefall. It looked like a waterfall, but it was a firefall. Right, say so the coals just coming down the mountain, so it became an attraction, amen. Like a wonder that people would go and look at this, and not only they say some people when they go there, they say it feels supernatural. You sit here and you're watching the fire fall, and say it feels supernatural when this fire is coming down off this cliff. So he said, what happened that there would be a man when it got to become a thing where people wanted to kind of come see it all the time. This one man would get up in the morning, 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. He would begin to get some of the wood that he needed to get, start making preparation for the fire fall. Hallelujah. And that's what we were doing. We were coming for praying and amen and fasting and doing all kind of things. We were preparing ourselves for the firefall. Hallelujah. Amen. And this man would make preparation. He'd sit there and gather all day. And then he would get there, you know, late at night. And I mean, in the evening, he'd start building that fire, getting that fire real hot, getting it real hot. He said, because it's only going to be about a 10-minute display. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to tell you, if it's only going to last for 10 minutes, I don't want to be coming to the firefall. Huh? If it's only going to last for 10 minutes, amen, I want to be there. I want to be in place. Amen. I want to be ready when the fire begin to fall. I want to enjoy the entire spectacle. Hallelujah. I don't want no noise around me when the fire is falling. I want the babies tended to. Amen. I want everything in place when the fire is going to fall because it's only for 10 minutes. I done fought all kind of traffic to get here. I done pressed through this and I done pressed through that. Man, I ain't here to play games. I want to see the fire fall. And people would come from all, even presidents would go and sit there and watch the fire fall. Not only presidents, but a prophet went to this place and he watched the fire fall. Hallelujah. So here, you know, and they've gone through years of all kind of battles where people say it's not safe for the environment. They, you know, hallelujah. Amen. And anytime, you know, God want to do something, you got somebody with some type of criticism. Oh, glory. Somebody got something to say. Amen. But all I want you to do is just set to the side. I'm here to see the fire fall. So they got that thing all prepared and they're burning
in the afternoon, in the evening, they're starting to burn and getting them coals hot, getting them coals real hot. And you know, and before, by the time they get the coals hot, right around 9 o'clock in the evening, 9 o'clock, they would, because up north and all that, sometimes the sun go down a lot later than it goes down here. Right, so about 9 o'clock, sun going down, and they say the elements got to be just right. They have to have enough snow. They got to have, to create a certain effect. The clouds have to be clear. Everything got to be just right for the firefall. Hallelujah, amen. And then say when they finally get things, amen, into place. They say they used to just kind of push it off the cliff, and nobody knew when it was gonna fall. People wanted to be ready. Right? So they say, look, you got to come up with some way to let us know when you get ready to do this.
Right.
Oh, hallelujah. Right? So they say, now don't just push it off up there. Let us know. Give us some type. So they created some type of calling system.
Yes. Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
And they kept improving on the calling system.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. They kept improving until they finally got to a spot where, you know, this one fella, he would yell out. Amen. He would say, hello, Glacier Point. And then everybody else in Glacier Point would say, hello, Camp Curry. And you would hear the echo going through the mountains. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. You say, hello, Glacier Point, 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 point. Hello, Glacier, Camp Curry, 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 Curry. You just hear that going through. And that's why I say, when one person say, amen, an echo would come. The first one say amen. And then the second one say. And then the third one say. And then the fourth one say. Amen, 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 amen. Just an echo going through. Hallelujah. You say, hello, Glacier Point. Hello, Camp Curry. Say, is the fire ready, 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 ready? And then they come back and say, the fire is ready, 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 ready. And when they heard that, then the man would stop. He say, let the fire fall, 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 fall. And they would see the fire coming right down that mountain. See, the fire couldn't fall until all things were ready. And I'm here to say this morning, all things are ready. So God, let the fire fall. We know what the Holy Ghost is supposed to do. It's supposed to clean us out. Get rid of things that's not pleasing to God. Let the Holy Ghost do what the Holy Ghost does. All things are ready. Let the fire fall. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. This last little quote, as the musicians would make their way forward, this is out of the Invisible Union of the Bride of Christ, and I'm going to go directly to paragraph 320. It says, all at once we heard something from the top of the hill, a voice come down through the loudspeaker, said, all things are ready. Then this man standing right there by the side of me said, let the fire fall. Here it come pouring down across that mountain, a glacier fire and blazes are licking, a sight to behold. Brother, let's get all things ready, for one of these days the fire is going to fall. We're going up. Now let's get ready for the fire falling time. We're in the last days. We all know that when we're ready for the coming of the Lord, the thing to do is separate yourself from all sin. Separate yourself from anything that pertains to the world. Don't love the world or the things of the world. Let no man by his creeds deceive you. You stay right straight in the promise of God, the word of God, and that word, if it's a word for this day, God vindicates it so. If he doesn't, it's not the word for this day. The word that fell on the day of Pentecost will not work this day. No, sir, that was for Pentecost. This is for the bride. Going home of the bride, we got something different. The Pentecostals represented that again. We're in the bride age. No more than the word of Noah would work in the days of Moses. No more than Moses' law would have worked in the time of Paul here. He tried to tell them, you are dead to that and you cannot have that. Church, you who I'm speaking to today across the nation, I'm just inserting that, today across the nation, if you separated yourself from denomination and all filth and things of the world and all those things that keep you in man-made creeds and orders and things like that, you separated yourself, look up, get ready, the fire is going to fall one of these days. Amen. God is going to let him come and a sight to behold. Would you be ready when he comes? Would you be ready to go up with him when he comes? The secret rapture of the supernatural bride. She'll be made from mortal to immortality, be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. We which are alive and remain shall not prevent them which are asleep. I love that because it ties us right back to a sermon a few weeks ago. We shall be changed. Fire is going to do this, church. Fire is going to take care of all of this. We need, amen, our candles lit. And I believe God did exactly that. Amen. Let's keep them burning. Let's keep them burning. All things are ready. Oh, God, let the fire fall. Let's give the Lord another hand of praise. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Amen. Father, we thank you, O God, for your word. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your spirit. We know, Lord, that you are doing something so great in our midst. Fire is turning our lives around, changing us, Lord, from the inside and out. Father, we're realizing, amen, that we can't live without the fire of God. So we read the scripture, the angel, the seraphim, taking the coals from the altar of God. Amen. The fire pouring it into the earth. And it's our earth that's receiving this before the judgment. Lord, and our hearts are ready. And Lord, just want to receive more of you. We can't have enough. We can't have enough. We thank you for what you have started. God, we know that you will complete it. We know that the work is not finished. And God, we know that, Father, it will be brought to perfection in us, Lord. So we ask that as we lay ourselves on the altar, we surrender ourselves to you, God. Use us. Use us, oh God, for your glory. Use us for your honor, Lord. Don't let anything in our life, Lord, be like the world. But let us have a life, Lord Jesus, that pleases you, God. Fill every fiber of our being. Fill every fiber, Lord, of our being. We ask for it, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, God, how we need you, Lord. How we need you, Lord. More and more and more and more and more of you, God. We can never have enough. Never exhaust your resources. Never exhaust your resources, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Father. Blessed be your name, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, my. Yes. We want to see him again. We've seen him move time and time again, but we want to see him again. We want to keep the fire just lit in this place. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want to encourage you to keep an atmosphere in your home and in your car, wherever you might be. Just keep an atmosphere. Keep the fire tended. Oh, glory. Thank you, Jesus. Rushing wind, we are desperate for your presence. Revive us by your spirit within. We want to see you again, see you again. Oh, come, Lord, like a rushing wind, we are desperate
for your presence. Revive us by your spirit within. We want to see you again. See you again. Oh, come, Lord.
Come on, stand and help me sing it.
We are desperate for your presence. Revive, Lord. Oh, we want to see you again. See you again. Oh, come, Lord, like a rushing wind. We are desperate for your presence. Revive, Lord, by your spirit within. We want to see you again. See you again. Oh, come, Lord. We are desperate for your presence. Revive us by your spirit within. We want to see you again. See you again. Sing it again. Oh, come, Lord. Oh, we are desperate for your presence. Revive us. Oh, we want to see you again. One more time. Oh, come, Lord.
Brother Solomon, if you come in.
Desperate for your presence. Revive. We want to see you again, see you again. We want to see you again, see you again. We want to see you again, see you again.
Come on, give a praise in this place. We want to see the Lord do it again and again and again and again. We can never have enough of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's continue to welcome him in this presence. We want to keep a sacrifice on the altar, a continual sacrifice. Never let it go down. Keep the fire burning out of control. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to thank God for my nephew being here today. Caleb, it's so good to see you. Amen. God bless you. Turn around and greet your neighbor. Say, all things are ready. Let the fire fall.
Thank you. depths of the sea. Creation's revealing your majesty. From the colors of fall to the fragrance of
sovereignly by you, oh God. And Father, the way that you came and climaxed the services, Lord, you poured out your spirit afresh upon your people, Lord. My soul was crying for a refilling. I'm so glad to receive it, oh God. And Father God, to see how you moved in the midst of your people, Lord. That same Holy Ghost is here this morning, Lord God, to bring forth your word to your people, to let us know, oh God, there's still a fresh outpouring that's still to come, Lord. We want more and more of you, Lord. Therefore, we know there's more of you to have. And Father, as we continue to hunger and thirst for you, Lord, we know that we shall be filled. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the expectation of your people. We thank you for meeting our expectations. We thank you for the preaching of your word. We thank you for your servant, O God. We ask that you continue to bless him and strengthen him, O God, and grant the desires of his heart, Lord, and your people, Lord. How each one put their shoulder to the plow, Lord. Praying and fasting, Lord, coming with expectation, Lord. Lord, not just sitting there looking at the preacher, Lord, not just sitting watching the songs be sung, but each one entered in, oh God. They did their part, Lord God, and you came, Father, and exceeded our expectations. Lord, we just want to say thank you. We just want to love you, Lord God, for all that you do for us, Lord. We bless your name, Lord. For you are worthy, oh God. You are worthy, oh Lord. Father, therefore, do we offer our praises to you, Lord. Father, it doesn't seem like a sacrifice because our hearts are overwhelmed by you, Lord. We love you. We thank you. We ask, Lord God, that as we leave this place, Lord, that your ever-abiding presence go with us, Lord. Bring us all back at the appointed time. We ask that you bless, Lord God, our outreach this evening at Pinnacle Palms. We ask that you bless the combined services, Lord. Bless all who puts their shoulder to the plow, Lord. We love you, we praise you, and thank you. It's in Jesus Christ's precious and holy name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord, saints. You may have your seats, and our brethren will come and dismiss you at this time. God bless you.